you know. So next week, we will go deeper in spiritual growth. We're going to talk about growing in grace and knowledge. We're going to talk about growth, how we grow our faith. We're going to talk about growing in wisdom and knowledge of God. We're going to talk about prospering, you know, and everything that we put our hands to do. We're going to grow by the sincere milk of the Word of God. We're going to grow in love. We're going to talk about how we must be wise and not as fools, but redeeming the time, because the time is near. And we know that time will wait for no one. And next week, we hope to go deeper in our teaching on spiritual growth. And we want you not to miss not a word. We don't want you to miss a word of what God is saying to His church, because it's very important now, because we're going to live or we're going to die in to the things of the world. So if I were you, I would want to live and to the things of God. And we want to talk about growing our faith. So this is the end of our message for this week. And next week, all these things and all the ways that we're supposed to grow, we'll be getting a little deeper into them. Amen? Amen.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger. Born in a tree.
We like to say tonight, the
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Greater King David Presents is Christmas production, Jesus. The gift, the giver, the biggest part of Christmas. There may be moments in your life when you feel that you don't deserve love, didn't know you were in need of kindness, or that you even wanted Christ to send someone to intercede. But when it or they came, it was right on time. During this season of joy, when joy is not always felt, we recognize Jesus. And our production message is that Jesus is always walking with us and shows up all the time, right on time. Come out and be blessed. Wednesday, December 18th at 6:30 p.m. at the John E. Montgomery Multicultural Center, located at Greater King David Baptist Church North location, 222 Blunt Road. We will meet you there.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
It is such a major need in this day and time for believers to stand up and be a witness for Jesus Christ. If there ever was a time that Jesus needed true witnesses, true believers, true people who have been touched by the power of His blood and His life, to make clear and make known that they're on the Lord's side. It is now. I want to just share just a couple of scriptures, and however the Spirit of the Lord takes us through further scriptures, we will certainly include them. But I want to launch again from John chapter 15, the last two verses, 26 and 27. St. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. And while you're turning there and focusing on that, I want to share with you the importance of understanding Jesus' position at this time. He is getting them ready for, again, his departure from planet Earth. His mission is all about wrapped up, and the only thing left is the cross and the resurrection and the ascension. And it is important to Jesus to make sure that the disciples understand the importance of their role when he's gone. It's one thing for them to be who they say they are when he's with them, but it's a whole nother thing for them to be who he says they are and they say they are when he is no longer with them. And one of the things about Jesus's ministry what made it so authentic and attractive was he literally transferred his trend of thinking into the minds of the disciples that followed him. That's one of the reasons why Paul said, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you also. Because one of the things that's so important for us is to know the word, which reveals the will, which shows us the way. And when Jesus, who is now in heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father, sees us in our situation and circumstance, he has left a word for us that gives us direction and guidance, but he's also left the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. He is our supreme teacher. He is our guide. He is our guard. He is the one who helps us. He is the one who delivers us. And on and on and on, his ministry is to us because he is the other comforter. And so it's important to recognize that when Jesus left us, he wanted us to not only know him, but for him to be a part of us so that we would be able to function again and flow with the divine power of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you what, your witness of itself outside of the Holy Ghost is good. It's good because you are sharing, you know, important information that you can bear witness to. But when you have the Holy Ghost, it's like your witness is on steroids. It's superpowered. It is far more effective with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who lives on the inside of you and who speaks and gives you power, according to Acts 1 and 8, which we have gone over and you know. But it says simply that the power that you need comes after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And but most folk, again, forget that purpose of the Holy Ghost's main mission as relates to Jesus Christ is that we be witnesses, not so much to just, you know, lay hands on people, and not so much to do miracles, and not so much, not that any of that is not important and is not a part of what we should be doing, but you've got to realize the primary function, as Jesus is saying in Acts chapter 1 to the believers at this time, and then time forward. Why? Because we need the Holy Ghost to be the most effective witnesses that we can be in this world. I don't care how much you think you know. I don't care how much you think you've got it going on. You need supernatural power to fight supernatural demons. Have I got a witness? And I've got news for you. To be able to be the real witness that Jesus Christ needs you to be, you're going to have that power, because you're not talking about coming against the wits or knowledge of another human being. He's talking about coming against demonic powers and supernatural powers and wickedness and powers and all of those in high places. He's talking about having the ability to tear down Satan's kingdom with your witness and the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's how the Holy Ghost moves through the believers to tear the enemy's kingdom down. But without that power, many of us won't open up our mouth. We believe in our hearts, we think it in our minds, but it doesn't come out of our mouth. We hear folk talking bad about the church, talking bad about God, talking bad about the things of God, and here we are belonging to God and won't open up our mouth. The Bible says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. 27 says, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, from these words, I want us to look at being a fit witness for Christ. A fit witness for Christ. Some of us are witnesses, but we ain't fit. And Jesus, in this day and time, needs some fit witnesses, meaning those who are going to prove his case and not be a hindrance to his case. Listen at this word again. Jesus is speaking now. It's just after he's declared that they hate him without a cause, and all of these things are said and done, again, because the truth is that they hate him because they hate the Father, and really meaning that Satan is the father of every ploy and plot against Jesus. But because he hates Jesus, his father, so much, because his father kicked him out of heaven, what his mission is, Jesus's ministry here and mission here is on earth, the enemy is trying Satan everything he can to stop it. He knows that man is God's chiefest creation. He knows how God feels about man, who is made in his image and in his likeness. And so he knows, because we represent the holiness of God as believers, if he can mess with us, he ultimately mess with God. He can't do nothing with God directly, so he messes with God indirectly through us. You know, it's just like your enemy. You know, you have an enemy, and the enemy know he can't hurt you, but what he can do next, or try to do next, is hurt what you love the most. And if, in fact, he hurts what you love the most, does he not hurt you? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And so Jesus, again, is his prime object to destroy. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus is so important to the human race and to mankind as a whole, and especially to the believer, because he was born perfect, sinless, and pure. He walked and lived on this earth the same way, and Satan had no jurisdiction. He had no authority and no power to put his hands on Jesus. That's one of the reasons why Jesus declares, no man taketh my life, but I lay my life down. And if I lay it down, I can take it up again. Satan did not have the power to take Jesus' life, but the way that it was done, listen, Jesus knew the plan of God. He came to die. He came to be the propitiation and the substitution for man. He came to stand in the stead of man. So he knew what Satan's plan was. And listen, he used Satan's plan against him. He used Satan's plan to destroy him against Satan, because in the holy court, Satan didn't have the right to kill or touch Jesus Christ in the manner that the crucifixion happened in. And that was, forgive this slaying, saying, but that was the trump card that Jesus used against him. Now, there is a whole court system in heaven, of course, that we wouldn't have time today. That's a whole study on the court system of heaven. And this is what Jesus is referring to when he talks in this verse about the Holy Spirit testifying of him. Now, he's not really talking about testifying of him in the earth realm, because there's no one here in the earth realm that can judge him. But he's referencing two witnesses, one who knows him from eternity, and then one set of witnesses that know him from the beginning of his earthly ministry. And so when he talks about the Holy Spirit in the 26th verse, notice again he says, but when the Comforter is come, that he's going to send, Jesus is going to send unto us, and he says, from the Father. Now again, he's talking about the eternal coexistent one with him and the Father. Now, Jesus as man is here. He has abdicated his throne at this point in time, and so now it is God and the Holy Spirit. But he says that he's going to send him here. Now, when does he do this? He does this 10 days after he rises and go back to the Father. He rises from the dead and stays here 40 days. At 40 days, he rises, goes back to heaven. 10 days after he's back in heaven, he sends the Holy Ghost down, the endowment of power, the third part of the holiness of God present with man. And so when we recognize this and see this, it is so that we are able to understand how this thing works. Now, again, he says, he's sending the Comforter, and he makes clear who he is. The Spirit of what? The Spirit of truth. Which means this. He is the Spirit of truth in all areas, all arenas. He knows the truth secularly and sacredly. There is no truth hidden from him. He dispenses truth in every situation and every circumstance. He is the Spirit in every circumstance. Truth, which means he cannot lie. His whole makeup, the essence of him, is truth. That is a part of who he is. So that's important to understand and to know. He's sending the Spirit of truth to bear witness. Now, he's going to be the one who empowers us, but he's also going to be the one utilized in the court system. Because listen to what he says, which proceeded from the Father. He wasn't here. He came from heaven, where Jesus came from, with the Father. And now he's down here, and his purpose is to empower men, but is also to testify the power and person of Jesus Christ. And so he says, he shall testify of me. Now, there are two words used in these two verses. One is testify. The other is witness. What's the difference? Is there a difference? Does it make a difference? You bet it does. First of all, testify means to present evidence. Evidence of a situation or circumstance or reality. The Holy Spirit in his testimony presents evidence. Witnesses simply speak of what they have seen, heard, or experienced. The witness does not have to produce evidence. All they have to do is say, I saw it. This is what I saw. This is what I heard. This is what I experienced. Now, Jesus didn't ask us to testify of him. He asked us to be what? Witnesses. The reason why he wanted the Holy Spirit to testify of him, because the Holy Spirit is the person of unadulterated truth. There is no any sense of lie or falsehood or fallacy or anything else in the Holy Ghost. He is the best witness that he can have in the court of law, the Holy Ghost. Our witness is here on earth so that we can be witnesses of him who will no longer be on earth, which he now rests in heaven on the right hand of the Father. But we are witnesses of what we have seen, what we have heard, or what we have experienced. Now, as witnesses, what is the purpose of our witness? To lift Jesus up as a Savior. To be able to speak of the fact that he's a Savior. How do you know he's a Savior? Because he saved me. Now, not only does he say, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. But we know not only is the word truth, but the experience is true, because he has drawn us to him by the Holy Ghost, and he has made clear in the preceding chapter that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by whom? But by me. And so those of us who have experienced the Lord Jesus Christ are witnesses of his salvific experience, his power. And so we are saved by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we not only are saved by his power, but we are witnesses to all of the wonderful things that he has done since we've been saved. How many of you have been delivered from anything? And thanks be to God and praise be to God when we get delivered from everything. But right now, there are some things we've been delivered from. How many of us have been healed from some sickness that we did have, we no longer have? So we know him as a healer. We know him as a deliverer. I mean, how many of us have gone hungry and been in a place where we were hungry regardless of whether we had money or not, and we found that he made a way for us in some circumstance or another? We know him as bread in the starving land. The bottom line is everything that we have experienced with the Lord Jesus Christ, we now become witnesses of that. Why is that important? Because there is somebody that we see, that we know, that we come in contact with, that need to know him on those same basis. And sometimes what they need, they don't even know. And it's our job to make sure that we pass on the information of how to be saved, about the one who can save, because we're witnesses of having been saved. And who better to speak about him than us? One of the reasons why Jesus didn't want the demons to be a witness of him being the Son of God was because they were the wrong witness. There are just some people you don't want to call your name out. There are just some people you don't want to lift you up. No, leave me alone. Don't call my name. Don't put in a good word for me.
don't say nothing about Mary. Because how many of you know that sometimes from the wrong person, it can cause you more damage than good? And so he forbade the demons to speak because that wasn't the kind of witness he wanted. And all they were witnessing to was the fact that he was the Son of God. That was a good thing. But he told them, shut up. Not from you. And so that's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, that we've got to learn wherever we are, whatever we're in, God is expecting us to be the mouthpiece for Jesus Christ, because he sent Jesus to save us. Jesus saved us. And with his salvation came all of these other blessings. And he does those for us and to us because he wants us on the other side of what he's blessed us with to open up our mouths and be witnesses. Now, how many of us will be honest and say we've been in situations where we knew people needed Jesus and we didn't open our mouth? Now, you know, because the Spirit of Truth has already told me all of us have been in that situation. I believe him whether you say amen or not. I know in every situation you could have said something and you didn't say something. You can't sit here and tell me you said something. And so the reality is, when we learn that the way the Holy Spirit works on the inside of us is that he empowers us and he charges us up to be able to speak. Here's one good example. Peter, who walked with Jesus, lived with Jesus, ministered with Jesus, when they took Jesus and he found himself being heated by the wrong fire, and the damsel saw him and identified him, he, who could have been a witness for Jesus and say, man, y'all are making a mistake. You're about to crucify the Son of God. You're about to crucify the Savior of the world. Don't put your hands on him. You're messing with God's Son. Do you think he said that? Let me tell you what he said. You got the wrong one. I don't know him. I don't know him. Now, we may not have gone as far as to say, I don't know him. But when you don't open up your mouth, do you realize that's just what you have honestly said? Because who else is there to be the witness for? Sometimes it's only you. And if you don't say anything for him, you missed an opportunity to help save or help someone else. Because remember what the record said, and I, if I be lifted up, how do you lift him up? You speak about him. You witness for him. You make known his good deeds. And if you don't say that, you're not lifting him up. If you're not lifting him up, he can't draw. And all of that's based on your witness. Your witness. And so, in the one realm, in the court of law, the Holy Spirit is going to testify with evidence that he is the true Son of God, the Holy One, the Anointed One, the one God sent to save mankind. He's going to testify of his record. He's going to make clear that he is the sinless and holy child of God. He's going to make it so clear in the divine court of law that the enemy won't have any contradiction to that truth. But here's the problem. How many lives and souls will die and go to hell because on earth we didn't witness to what we knew about this Savior in the earth realm where the enemy was trying to attack mankind and to keep Jesus from the ultimate mission of saving whosoever will. Can I tell you?